I haven't got my Lions t-shirt on. I don't feel my cricket prowess is up to that standard. We've been talking over the last, month or so, or a bit longer, probably a couple of months. I've been talking about what it means to live well in a culture of unbelief. And I guess I'm blessed to have been following Jesus for a long time. And I've seen, lots of different stages and fads and all sorts of things that go through the church over the years. And, some of those things have been good, and some of those things have been a bit excessive, and some of those things have been a bit weird. But what I do know is that some of the things that were probably taught to us and talked about when I was a child, about what perhaps might happen in the future, and they were taught with a good sense of truth of Scripture. But what I do know is that right now before our eyes in this time, we are seeing so many of those things that we sort of thought were out there, wow, actually happening across our world. And the interesting thing is when actually prophecies come true, when things actually happen, a lot of stuff's got a way of sneaking up on us where it just sort of feels a little bit more normal, and it's not until you look back and you say, ah, yes, I can see what's happening. Now, as I talk about this morning, I'm not about to go into Revelation or prophecy. I'd love to do that maybe another time, but right now I want to talk about how we actually continue to live well in days like this. And the thing that I keep saying, and we've got to grab hold of, is that the reason that you are alive, the reason that you are here, the reason that you are part of these days is that before the creation of the world, Jesus himself chose you to be alive at this time. He chose you to be alive because you've got it. We don't have to fear anything that is around us. We don't have to suddenly go and be hermits living up in the hills because weird things might happen. No, we are told to be here and to be in it and to be amongst it and to be salt and light and be a voice that brings about change in these days. And the reason that you're alive now rather than the 16th century or the 12th century or the first century or even in the glory days of the 1950s. Some of you were alive then, but
they were the glory days.
But you are here now because you've been chosen and you've been given what it takes to live well in these days. And we've been talking about that. And I just want to talk about that a bit this morning. It's easy to feel like, and it's even with what I've been talking about now, because I don't want you to fear these days. We've had lots of change, but I think we've been told that things like that will happen. We've been told what's going to happen in this world, but we've been told not to fear it. But it's easy to feel like things are mounting against us, isn't it? Even very more normal, things that we're dealing with, like cost of living and all those things that are happening at the moment. It's easy to feel like things are actually mounting against you. Who's ever felt like that? Sometimes we have a bit of a moan to ourselves and to each other, and we talk about that. Even if it's not quite true, it can be the reality of how we're feeling. And in this Christmas season, we hear about joy and blessing, but do we really understand what it means to be blessed? It's a term we use. Sometimes we sign emails. I remember going from becoming a pastor and thinking, oh, do I have to sign all my emails? Now I'm a pastor with blessings, Dave. You know, what does that mean? You know, what does it actually mean to be blessed? And if we go back, and I think this is important in understanding this, and I want to talk a little bit about the culture where Abraham, or Abram as he was called then, lived, and God spoke to him and said, I will bless you. And interestingly enough, it wasn't all about material stuff, because if you do a bit of research and understand the background of Abraham, he was probably already quite wealthy before God spoke to him and said, I will bless you. But God spoke to him about his future and his inheritance, and he said these three things. He said, I will bless you, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless those who bless you. And another version said, and then he says, I will curse those who curse you. In other words, God said, Abraham, I will bless you. I will be for you. And beyond actually you being a blessing, those that choose to bless you will actually share in some of the favor that is on your life, because people choose to bless you. Isn't that amazing? And if we're followers of Jesus, we actually share in the blessing of Abraham. Not only are you blessed, but God promises to bless those who bless you and take care of those who are against you. And this is really scriptural. I'll read you three verses from Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, 9 says, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Galatians 3:14. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. God's not only for you, but he declares that you are blessed. He declares you are blessed. Sometimes it's all right to think, oh yeah, I know, there's blessing around and God blesses, but he declares you are blessed. And I think if God says it, nothing can come against it. And when stuff is mounting about you, you've got to understand and realize that God says you are blessed. God says you are blessed. Just because you crashed your car, just because, you know, things have got tight financially, just because stuff's going on, that is nothing compared to the God of the universe who says you are blessed. Right. Here's the thing. If you've accepted Jesus and put your faith in him and chosen to be obedient to him, you are blessed. But maybe that's not your experience at the moment. Maybe you know it. Maybe you know it up here. Maybe you understand and you believe that that's how it should be, but you do not feel like you are living or walking or experiencing blessing. I won't ask for hands, but I imagine we all feel like that sometimes, don't we? And I think a lot of it's to do with what sometimes Paul called the spirit of the age, or the days in which we live. And maybe you've heard some thinking around this, but I think it's really important to understand. And there's a lot of thinking around the fact that the age in which we live is actually very similar in spirit and culture to the age of Babylon. Now, Now Babylon, ironically, and this is why I want to talk about this with the blessing of Abraham, where was Abraham called from to come out into the blessing of God? He actually lived in the area that would be now southern Iraq, and that was where the headquarters, if you like, of Babylon was, and everything was in that area. That is where Abraham lived. He lived in that. He lived in a place where, you know, it was a pagan society. They worshipped the moon. There was all sorts of things going on. It was a very well-developed society way back in Abraham's day. They say that they had heaps of the infrastructure that we even have now in this day. This is where Abraham came from. They had good houses. They had all sorts of systems in place. They had great banking. They had all sorts of things in that ancient society. But there was something about that society that caused God to call somebody out of that to step into blessing. So right back there, it's ironic that, or not ironic, it's not really how the Bible works. It's very purposeful. But God called Abraham out of that. The next thing when we think about Babylon is, of course, the Tower of Babel. So, of course, you know, if you know your Bible history, you know that there was a great flood, and God chose to just save one family, and out of that grew society again, and people look back at what had happened and said, okay, we're gonna take matters into our own hands. And they said, we're gonna build a great city. So that we, listen to this, so that we can be famous. So that we can be great. We will build a tower that ascends to heaven. And obviously this is ancient people, and the height actually represented something. They believed that the gods lived on the mountains. So they said, we will build a tower that ascends to the heavens so that we will be like God. The word Babel, or as the Americans say, Babel, and perhaps they say it more right. Babel talks about confusion. So this spirit of Babylon always has a sense of confusion about it. And basically, what had happened in this time, if you look at what was going on in the spirit, you read about it in Daniel. There was a great war in the heavens. And so because God is doing something, he is actually bringing restoration to his people and restoration to this earth, and he is setting up his kingdom, which is a kingdom of light, it's a kingdom of hope, it's a kingdom of future, it's a kingdom of goodness, it's a kingdom of righteousness, and that's all about the blessing of Abraham. God is setting up that. So what does the enemy do? What does Satan do? He says, I will set up my counterfeit kingdom. And so they start building this tower of Babel, and God comes along and says, I'm not going to let this go any further. So he brings confusion to that and changes languages, and people disperse. Babylon obviously is an ancient nation, but it's important to note that behind Babylon was actually the spirit of Babylon. It's probably I don't want to freak you out here, but it's the demonic spirit of Babylon. And I'm not talking about some weird and wonderful spirit that inhabits an area under your bed. I am talking about a spirit that brings about culture, that inhabits institutions, that inhabits nations, that brings about change or its purposes on a global level. It's not something new. It's always been there. It's always set itself up against the purposes of God. But sometimes you wonder why that we can change the people and we get the same result. Have you noticed that? That sometimes a government department says, okay, we've got problems here, so we're going to get a new CEO, we're going to change our top management, we're going to get people in and we're going to change it. And what happens? It does exactly the same thing. And we see that in governments and nations and bureaucracy and all sorts of things, because you see, people come and go, but spirits stay. And the spirit of Babylon can probably be really, really, if you want to say, what's it all about? Well, the spirit of Babylon wants to elevate self and lower God. The spirit of Babylon always seeks to elevate self and lower God. If you look at our culture at the moment, you hear so much about identity and identity politics and all these things. It's all about the elevation of self and the lowering of God. That's the spirit of the age in which we live. So I'm not talking about being scared of spooky spirits. I'm talking about something that is very overt. It's something that's very in your face, and we need to understand it, and we need to understand that we are blessed to live in that culture and bring about change. So God says to Abraham, if you look in Genesis 12, verse 1 and 3. So he is living in this place where this spirit originally inhabited, and it's something about that. And the Lord says to Abraham, he said, I know, I need to do something with you. I need you to be a blessing, but I'm not going to do it there in that environment. I'm actually going to bring you out so I can do something new. And he says to Abraham, the Lord says to Abraham, leave your country, your family, your relatives, and go to a land I will show you. I will bless you. I will make your descendants into a great nation. You will become famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on the earth will be blessed because of you. That is the blessing, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you walk in, that you live in, you live under. So here's some things. Abraham was called out of paganism. They worshipped the moon. So to walk in that blessing, number one, Abraham was called out. God called him, he responded, and he was made righteous by his faith. In other words, he actually listened to what God was saying, and he left where he was and went to a land that God was going to show him, and he didn't know exactly where that was, but he was made righteous through faith. That's important to know. He was called into God's purpose. God didn't just call him and say, hey, Abraham, I can find a better life with you over here. No, he said, I want to do something significant for all the people of the earth because of you. I am going to call you out of where you are so I can bless you to bless others. He called him to purpose. He also called him to promise. He said, if you would respond to me through righteousness, if you would be righteous by responding to me through faith, there is a promise that I will continue to bless you and all your children. And God called him to blessing. He didn't just call him to a journey or even an adventure. He actually called him to blessing. So here we go. I reckon to live blessed in these days, where we understand that spirit of Babylon is all around us. It is actually working really hard in these days. And again, I'm saying, let's not fear it. Just realize you are here because you are trusted to be the right people at the right time to live in these days. So to live blessed and to be blessed, I think we've got to understand that spirit is the same spirit that we read about in John 10:10, where it says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life abundant, or other words, you might be blessed. So that's how we're called to live in these times. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 4, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. So to live blessed, number one, you've got to be called out. You've got to be called out. And I think Carla's testimony is amazing. She's actually got a little bit of a book, and I've read bits of it. And she was called out of incredible darkness to actually live in the light. What an amazing testimony. And God has called you out of darkness to live in light to make a difference. And being called out doesn't mean, I've got to leave Hobart and go somewhere else in the most part. It actually means that you've got to be called out of a culture. You've got to be called out of a mindset. You've got to be called out of destruction. And you've got to be called into promise. So number one, to live blessed, you need to be called. You need to respond to that calling. So number two, to live blessed, you need to be called to a purpose. And it says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, it says, He saved us and called us to a holy life. Listen to this. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Isn't that incredible? See, you haven't just been called to nothing. You haven't been called just to live sort of some sort of utopic privilege. And I think if you understand the difference between privilege and blessing, I don't believe that blessing is a thing that's static and stops and it's all about just me, receive. It's something that flows. You can actually live in privilege and not bring blessing to anybody else. I think when we live blessed, it's actually something that flows through us. Interestingly enough, Daniel, young Hebrew man that was actually taken out of Judah and taken right into the center of power of the Babylonian Empire. And we find that he is actually a missionary in the middle of this very, very dark place. Why was he successful? Why was he successful in those times? So you think about all the crazy stuff that you see around us. Daniel was placed in the centre of that. And interestingly enough, he actually gets a bit of a name for himself because he's wise because of the Spirit of God on him. He's able to interpret dreams. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, comes and says, "Oh, I've had this crazy dream. Can you help me with it?" And he actually stands there and he speaks the truth to him. He said, you know, the king has a dream of a tree and it's been cut down and he's thinking, oh, what's going on? And basically looks at this very, very powerful king. This is a king that was willing to throw people into a massive fire because they wouldn't worship him. And Daniel's able to look at him and say, you are going to be cut down. You're actually going to go and live. You're going to lose your mind. You are going to live in the wilderness like a wild animal. But if eventually you come to your senses and acknowledge who God is, your kingdom will be restored to you. You see, Daniel lived in that culture, but he refused to bow to the culture. And I think it's really important in these times. And I'm talking about, you see, Daniel had influence in that culture. Daniel actually was somebody they went to. So he didn't offside himself. He actually loved people in that culture. He actually built relationship. He built connection. He actually built influence through the presence of God, but he did not bow to the culture. And we've got to understand we're called to purpose. To live blessed, we need to be actually understand that we're called to blessing. We're called to blessing. And when we think we're called to blessing, does that mean, oh, I'm just walking around and God is just pouring out all this stuff on me? Oh, Lord, I need another car and, you know, I need another mountain bike and I need this and I need that and I need all these things and they just they're just coming into my world. And sometimes we can feel like that, but to be blessed means you are called to blessing. Blessing, not just receiving blessing, but you're called to be blessing. Oh Lord, bless Brian. I pray that because I am blessed, that would flow and Brian would be blessed. He would understand more and more of his purpose. He would understand that he is a good person. He would understand that you have an amazing future for him. He would understand that where he came from does not define his future. He would understand that despite some of the things that have happened in his world, that you're going to use him mightily. You see, that's what being a blessing is. It actually flows to others rather than just being, in a sense, receiving privilege. Matthew 5 verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so in that sense, blessed means to be fully satisfied. Sometimes our blessings, in other words, our privilege, can actually get in the way of our need for God. And I think that is what's significant about Abraham, because sometimes it's easy to feel like when your life is completely derailed and you're in a real spot, you know, a lot of people cry out to God in that time. I can think over the years, so many people that we've ministered to and have come into our church community in tough times and tough seasons, and so they should. And we want to continue to reach those people. We need to continue to reach those people. But sometimes God starts to bless them and all of a sudden, "Oh, I don't need God anymore." You know, I know people we've had in our church, and they've been walking in infertility, and you know, we've prayed for them and we've believed and we've said, "Lord, you know, bless them with children," and we've stood with them, and all of a sudden the children come and it's like, "Oh, I don't need God anymore." Whereas Abraham was actually called out of worldly prosperity to blessing. In other words, he responded by faith and walked in righteousness. He was able to take what God had already given him, and God was able to multiply that and turn him into a great nation. Did you know, Paul, you love this bit. Paul, in the New Testament, calls suffering a blessing. He says, "I am blessed. I am blessed." And he says, "Oh, you know, here I am. I'm suffering in Rome. I am in jail. I am chained. But I am blessed. I am suffering for Christ." And he understood that God would actually choose him. This guy that beat up the first church, that tried to destroy it, that dragged Christians out of their homes and houses and all sorts of terrible things to them, and he lived his life saying, "Lord, I am humbled and I am honored that you would choose me to share in your sufferings." And he considered it a blessing. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we moan about things not being right and how hard it is. And you know, sometimes actually what we're going through is a blessing, because you've been chosen to walk a hard road. You've been chosen to walk through something that isn't easy. And that actually is a blessing if we can get the right mindset around that and understand. See, living in peace is something that we would all love to do. And I think we can live in peace in the middle of confusion and chaos if we understand that we are blessed. Yeah. Are we going to live blessed, or are we going to be overcome by confusion and chaos? See, living blessed means living in a way that counters and overcomes the spirit of the age. Every time I watch the news at the moment, you see something that you think, that is more ridiculous. That is more crazy. And you know, sometimes I'm watching stuff and I'm thinking, I'm saying to Alex, you know, have these people lost their minds? What is going on? Really? And honestly, the stuff that's going on at the moment, people are saying, you know, black is white and white is black and good is bad and bad is good. That's going on right before our noses. And you know, I'm tempted to throw something at the TV as I'm watching all this stuff sometimes. It's a counterfeit. It's confusion. It's chaos. All right, how are we going to respond? The couple of minutes I've got left, actually 2 minutes that I have left right now. Number one, if you want to live well in these days, I've talked about what you need to be called to, this is what you need to do. Psalm 145 verse 1 says, I will exalt you, my God, my King, and I will praise your name forever. If you say, I will exalt you, no matter what is going on, I will exalt you, Lord. I will lift your name up. I will glorify you. I will praise you. I will choose to praise. Oh, maybe you're a person that doesn't praise. Maybe you're not a person like me that gets a bit passionate and excited. I'm just a laid back one. I just do there. But have you ever cheered at the football? Have you ever cheered for, you know, come on. We have got to be those who say, I will lift your name. I will praise you. I will exalt you. Because what does the spirit of the age do? The spirit of the age wants to elevate self and diminish Christ. And the counter to that is, I will exalt you, Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, you have got to say, I will acknowledge God. I will acknowledge God. These blessings, what I walk in, all that I have, the opportunities I have. Oh, yeah, I'm a self-made man. Yeah. Alex and I, we did this. And you know, as we came to this church, we had to make choices and so forth about selling buildings and doing that. We could say that, or we could say, we are here because we are blessed by God. We are not self-made. We are under His blessings. We need to acknowledge Him in all that we have and all that we do and everything that we go. It says in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, it says, for what gives you the right to make such judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? Wow. Yeah. All right. You're going to love this one. Number three, this another I will. You know, I will exalt God. I will acknowledge God. Number three, I will humble myself. Who likes humbling themselves? Notice it says myself. In other words, you can humble yourself or you can be humbled. And let me tell you, I've done both. Probably the latter more than the former. But it is much better to humble yourself than be humbled. True. You can choose humility or life will choose it for you. You can choose the humility or God will choose it for you. Or the enemy. I've talked about the spirit of the age, talked about the devil. You know, what does it say? It says the devil puffs up. Why? So he can cut you down. And when we humble ourselves, we actually allow ourselves to stand on a solid platform that God has built for us where we actually stand strong. But if you don't humble yourself, if you walk in your own pride or you walk in the spirit of this age, it's like sometimes you can stand on a great big balloon. And just when that gets up, when it gets to the highest point, when things are going as well as they can, there is an enemy around who wants to put a pin in that and pop that thing and bring you crashing down. Or you can humble yourself and you can stand on a firm foundation. You can stand on a rock that will not be shaken. You can actually choose to stand in that place. And no matter what happens to you, that foundation will be there and you can stand firm in that place. Yep, I think we live in crazy days, but I think we live in days of more opportunity than ever. I think we live in days where the contrast between light and dark is so much stronger. I believe that you are here for such a time as this. I believe this is the greatest hour for the Church of Jesus Christ. And we don't need to fear the spirit of the age because He has overcome. overcome the world. Probably I want to say right now, if you're not walking with Jesus at the moment, there's a lot of shaky stuff around. These are the days that we need to stand firm in our faith. I will exalt you, Lord Jesus. I will acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, in everything that I have. I will humble myself and allow you to be my foundation. Just as we finish right now, if there's anybody online or if you're in the building here and you don't know what it is to stand on a solid foundation, if you don't know what it is to stand on truth and belief that can never be cut down, that can never be taken away, maybe you've stood on relationship and it's fallen over. Maybe you've stood in the community of your family and you've experienced disappointment. Maybe you've stood on financial things. Maybe you've worked hard only to experience that lost or taken away, maybe through somebody else's decision. Maybe you've struggled and you thought, I'm strong, but you've been through stuff and you've found that your mental health feels a bit shaky. The only answer, friends, is to actually stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the way that we do that is saying, Jesus, I want to exalt you. I want to make you. The Bible talks about him being a king. And we kings are kings. Kings have reign. Kings have dominion. Kings have authority. And we choose to say, I will make you king of my life. I will acknowledge you as the Son of God. I will acknowledge you as the one who died on a cross to take away my brokenness, my part in humanity's mess. I acknowledge that you did that. I acknowledge that you love me so much that nothing would stop you. And I'm actually going to humble myself right now enough to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you to come into my life and I want to follow you. And if this morning, if you're online or if you're here in the room and you can't say to me, Dave, I know that that's the foundation that I stand on. I stand on something that is going to see me through this life and it is going to be a foundation for eternity that can never be taken away. If you know you don't have that or you're unsure about that, I want you to respond right now. If maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. If you're online, please send us a direct message. But if you're in the room here, just let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment of privacy. If you need to do that, just give me a wave. Say, hey, Dave, I need to make that call this morning. If that's you, just slip your hand up right where you are. If you're online, just send us a message. Praise God. Is that maybe you've prayed a prayer like that once and you're just a bit unsure. Things have got a bit shaky. You need to make that fresh commitment and just come back to that foundation. If that's you, just give me a quick wave. So, hey, Dave, that's me. I'll include you in this prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the Son of God. I choose to exalt you, to make you my King. Right now, I acknowledge your love. I acknowledge the fact that you died for me. I ask that you would forgive me and come into my life from this day forward. I choose to follow you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's stand, and the team are going to lead us as we wrap up here this morning. If you need prayer, You know, in some ways I've talked briefly about stuff that can feel pretty heavy. But some of you are perhaps saying, I actually need to step into blessing. I need to step into being a person that God can use and He can bless others. Even if you're online, and we'll let you go in just a moment. But let's not let these moments pass. Let's choose to step into blessing and be the people that actually make a difference and come against the spirit of the days that we live in.